right, we're going to be ending it right there. I think we do have the elder on the line. Elder, is that better? Is that clearer?
Yes, I hope so. Can you hear me clearly?
There you have it. Much, much clearer, actually. Much, much clearer. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you this afternoon?
No, doing well. God is good, and we're keeping in good health.
Yeah, great stuff, great stuff. Well, but thank you so much for joining us. We're continuing to talk on the Mark of the Beast. We started on Monday together with you, and of course, we're continuing to talk to you about this. And of course, today we cover what is the Mark of the Beast. We also gave the identifying of these marks yesterday, and today we want to hear from you, why is the Mark of the Beast not 666, not COVID vaccine, and not any man-made chip, but to show why is the observance of Sunday. And so, my elder, we want to continue talking to us about this, because we do hear people talking about the National Sunday Law and what is it going to be and how is it going to be enforced, etc., etc. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much. We continue. Revelation 13 speaks about the mark of the beast. And if you read verse 16, 17, 18, the Bible says, "He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." So you can see that there's the number of the name of the beast that is spoken of, that is not the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible tells us in verse 18, "He is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So according to the Bible, 666 is not the mark of the beast, but is rather the number of the name of the beast. So that's why the Bible's clear that is 666 is not the mark of the beast. Going back to some of the identifying marks we mentioned yesterday and the day before that, that the mark of the beast is a sign of loyalty or homage to paid to the beast. The mark is associated with worshiping the beast or the time of worship. The mark is a sign of having the character of the beast. The mark will also be globally enforced on every citizen. This is what we see here in verse 16. "He causeth all, both small and great." So it's going to be a global law that will enforce this kind of mark on everyone, whether you like it or not. And we also noted that the mark of the beast is a counterfeit to the seal of God. And on that, the seal is on the forehead. The mark is on the forehead and also on the right hand. The seal of God is a specific day of worship. It is the seventh Sabbath, which is the seven-day Sabbath, Saturday. The mark also has to be a counterfeit day of loyalty to the beast. That is a sign of worship that is associated with the beast. And lastly, this the seal of God has a number associated with it. That is number seven. So the mark also has a number that is associated with it. That is 666. So using this identifying marks, and we're going to be taking them just one by one, and we'll show how what the mark of the beast is. The first one would be a mark is a sign of loyalty or homage to the beast. And we identified that this beast is none other than the papacy, ecclesiastical Rome, that got its political power from pagan Rome. So that is what we identify the beast is. So the question is, what is a sign of loyalty or homage that people pay to the beast? That is associated with worshiping on a specific day that the beast recommended, that will finally be enforced, that also is a counterfeit of God's day of worship. And I'm just now going to quote some of the sources we have.
Okay.
This is from the Catholic Church itself. The Catholic record of September 1, 1923, it says the church is above the Bible. The Catholic Church is above the Bible. And this transference of Sabbath observance from Saturday to Sunday is proof positive of that fact. So From the Catholic source itself, it says that transference of Sabbath observance to Sunday is a proof of the fact that the church is about the Bible. St. Catherine's Catholic Church Sentinel of May 21, 1995 says perhaps the boldest thing, the most revolutionary change the church ever did happened in the first century. The holy day, the Sabbath, was changed from Saturday to Sunday, not from any directions noted in the scriptures, but from the church's sense of its own power. People who think that the scriptures should be the sole authority should logically become Seventh-day Adventists and keep Saturday holy. These are the Catholics themselves saying that if you were to be a Protestant, follow the Bible and what it teaches, it will logically lead you to keep the seventh-day Sabbath, as Seventh-day Adventists have. So, and anyone who worships on Sunday is actually doing that in as a result of complying with a law that came from the Catholic Church way back in the 5th century. That we'll talk about tomorrow in more detail, how that law came about in the 4th century, and why is it that many Christians are worshiping on Sunday? And this was also a very interesting statement made by a Baptist.
Okay.
He says, the Bible says, remember thou keep holy the Sabbath day. The Catholic Church says, no, by my divine power, I abolish the Sabbath day. I command you to keep holy the first day of the week. And Lord, the entire civilized world bows in reverence, obedient to the command of the Holy Catholic Church. This was a very bold statement by Father T. Enrich, who was the president of the Redemptionist College, in a lecture given in Hartford, Kansas, in February 18, 1884. These are quite shocking statements coming from several people. The last one I'll read is from Catholic Mirror of December 23, 1893. I'll just give you a background to this statement. There was a push for Sunday observance in America. So the Catholics made this bold statement, and they published an article called The Catholic Mirror. The arguments contained in this pamphlet are firmly grounded on the Word of God, and having been closely studied with the Bible in hand, leave no escape for the conscientious Protestant except the abandonment of Sunday worship and the return to Saturday commanded by their teacher, the Bible. Or unwilling to abandon the tradition of the Catholic Church, which enjoins the keeping of Sunday, which they have accepted in a direct opposition to their teacher, the Bible, consistently accepted her in all her teachings. Reason and common sense demand the acceptance of one or the other of these alternatives, either Protestantism and the keeping of Saturday or Catholicity and the keeping of Sunday. Compromise is impossible. This was December 23, 1893, Catholic Mirror, saying there's no way, if you follow the Bible, you have to keep Saturday Sabbath. If you follow the tradition of the Catholic Church, you have to keep Sunday. So this Sunday change that came in the 4th century, we'll develop it more tomorrow and basically enumerate how that happened, is what is led us to believe that Sunday keeping will become the mark of the beast. Sunday keeping now is not the mark of the beast. Like I said, the mark of the beast will come after it is globally enforced by all the countries of this world. In other words, the countries of this world are going to enforce a mandatory Sunday law worship. Everybody will be forced to worship on Sunday. And when those laws come through government legislation, through government courts, then Sunday will then become the mark of the beast, which will be a sign of loyalty to the papacy, because he's the one that originated them. I said quite a mouthful, but I hope that everything is clear.
Yeah, no, everything is clear. Thank you so much for this. Now you are talking about, you know, this Sunday worship and the National Sunday Law that is still to come, enforced by the governments, you said. I think, did I hear you saying plural?
Yes. Governments of this earth have enforced Sunday laws before, and that's what I will demonstrate tomorrow in the 4th century.
I see.
They've done that also in the 19th century. Even in South Africa, we have the Sunday Blue Laws, In the United States, they still have, in certain states, Sunday blue laws.
I get you.
And in other countries, in Europe, you also have that. So governments have enforced Sunday law as a day of worship. And what the Bible is predicting is that it's going to come again.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Interesting. Now you're making some inferences, on the beast, and its mark, because you're talking about who enforced, who changed the law, et cetera, and one can draw inferences there between the changing of the law, as it were, as you have quoted in the quotations that you cited, and also the responsible beast, as it were. And its marks, etc., the signs, seal of God, as it were, as you explained, or the mark of the beast, etc. I'm not sure if you will be addressing that in the future, but I just thought it's quite intriguing that you make that, because one could actually make parallels and draw the dotted line in that space. Now, you're saying that people are going to be, forced to worship on Sunday. Is it rather made into a law? Is the worship, the Sunday worship, is in itself a sin, or is it that the people are forced to worship on Sunday a sin? Exactly, what is the problem with worshiping on Sunday?
Well, the Bible defines sin in 1 John 3, 4 as a transgression of the law of God. And it also says that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So sin in the Bible is a violation of the law of God. And the question is, which day does the commandment say we should be going to church on and we
So
should be worshiping
hang on, just hold on there a bit. So you're saying that worshiping on a Sunday is sin? Is that what you're suggesting?
Let me end by saying that according to the Bible, sin is the transgression of the law, and violating the fourth commandment, it is a sin. But God does not condemn people who are keeping Sunday because they don't know what the Bible teaches about seventh-day Sabbath. So it can be a sin to some people, and it can be a sin, not a sin to others, because, like I said, the Bible says, "To him that doeth good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So sin is attributed, and you are condemned for it once you know it is so, and you conscientiously violate your conscience.
What I'm actually asking, Gay, I hear you referring to keeping a Sunday. I'm not necessarily talking about keeping a Sunday. I'm talking about worshiping on Sunday, like a person would worship on a Tuesday, like a person would worship on a Friday or Thursday, or whichever day they feel, "Today I just want to worship God." Is it particularly a sin? Because you're mentioning it's Sunday as a problematic day to worship, because a person can worship on Tuesday, is it a sin? A person can worship on a Thursday, is it a sin? So that's the thread from which I'm asking this question.
That's a very relevant question. Worshipping can be done on every day, but there's a specific day that God said we should not do any kind of work on it, which is Saturday Sabbath, cooking, and doing all these other kind of things that are mentioned in the fourth commandment will be a violation of that specific law of the fourth commandment. And which generally happens if you continue to go to church on Sunday, because then Saturday becomes a day in which you go shopping, doing all the other things, which will make that particular act of violating the fourth commandment a sin.
I see. All right,
Yes.
that's fantastic, my elder. I do want to say, I think for today we can actually hold it right there, and we're going to be continuing tomorrow. Tomorrow, what did you say you want us to look at?
We want to look at the development of Sunday laws, how the church came, how churches came to keep Sunday holy, and what is happening now with relation to Sunday laws and globally, with what is going on. The Green Sabbath Project, there are several types of things going on now.
Well, there you have it. I'm definitely looking forward to that, my elder. For today, I do want to say thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Have
Blessings.
a lovely day.
Blessings to you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.